Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, a very special, very spooky treat. It's Halloween coming up. This is the weekend that people are probably celebrating Halloween things. And so we are looking at a spooky superstar this week.
I'm celebrating my birthday. So.
That's right. Happy early birthday to Javier. But we're also celebrating Halloween. So we're looking at the career of the boogeyman.
I'm coming to get you.
I mentioned this last week on the podcast. It is one of the easiest things for us normally when we have a wrestler's career. Because what we do is we take a wrestler and we look at their career through five of the most important matches. Normally, it's a fucking slog because we got to find, how do we encapsulate like 20 years in the business in some of that. We have our three-parters, which we will announce our next three-parter at the end of this episode. So stick around for that. Boogeyman, not a problem. Problem to find matches.
No, actually, it wasn't.
He's very clippable. You know, he's very like social media. Like,
honest, I'm not even joking. It probably took me like 15 minutes to get everything in.
Yeah, because the boogeyman, he hopped on the scene in 2005 and is out by 2009.
Yeah, and it's not like he had many high profile matches.
He was over though, and we will talk about the fact that the boogeyman as a gimmick was very weirdly over. I want to know, in general, before we talk about the boogeyman, what are your thoughts on, like, spooky gimmicks?
I think there's definitely a place for them in wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, look, man, The Undertaker is one of the five most iconic wrestlers of all time.
Yep.
Just Mark Calloway himself is a walking icon. He's an undead zombie wizard.
Yeah, he has lightning powers, the ability to possess people. He tried to start a cult. He kind of was successful with the cult. He tried to sacrifice the daughter of his boss. You know, casual.
Yeah, and then like Kane is also one of the most iconic figures in the history of pro wrestling.
But Kane doesn't have powers.
I don't know, man. But he was burnt alive, but he wasn't.
But he makes fire appear from the turnbuckles, unless he doesn't.
Yeah, listen, man, he's just the younger brother that doesn't really do much, you know? Every Boromir's got to have a Faromir.
Yeah, he's the buster of this situation. There's a couple spooky gimmicks, and the boogeyman is a spooky gimmick in a different way, and we'll dive into the history of the gimmick a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're not already, you should be joining us on YouTube and subscribe to us there. We're on the road to 100 subs. You should join us there. I want to shout out a comment we got last week on our episode about Juventud Guerrero. Shout out to Crispy Crisp 3548. One of the most wonderfully thought out comments I've ever seen on YouTube. Like, just genuinely heartfelt comment about Juventud Guerrero and how he's one of his favorite athletes of all time, which, as he should be, Juventud was fucking fantastic. So, really cool. Shout out to him. It was a really great read. Yeah, like I said, one of my favorite.
Made me feel really good. I was like, damn.
Yeah, and that was.
I think the best part of the comment was like saying that we knew. Like, we're very knowledgeable about, like, moves and stuff. And I was like, that's the best thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah, that's the coolest shit. I still think the number one thing any person's ever said to me is when I was in the, like, 12th grade and someone said I was a mix of Ryan Atwood and Seth Cohen. And that was when I peaked as a human being. You've known me more in my Seth Cohen era. So you've only known me in my Seth Cohen era. It's true. But that comment is up there for sure.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Don't you take this from me. Also, there's lots of extra videos on there. We have lots of other series that we do. We do Wrestler Revisited. We do Take a Car, Make a Car, which is a really fun and very stressful gimmick for Javier and I to do. So you should go check us out being very stressed. We do.
It's like, you ever
see
the video
there
of MasterChef Junior where the kid like messes up his potatoes and then he's like really stressed trying to do it again? I gotta restart my potatoes. That's us, how I feel in those 5 minutes.
That's how I feel every time that I see someone on Chopped go to the ice cream machine, too.
I've never seen Chopped. I can't even lie to you.
One, Chopped is an outstanding concept of, here's a basket, here's four fucked up ingredients, make a dinner in like 20 minutes. Phenomenal execution where they're like, here's like candy cigarettes and a bison's asshole and like a nectarine. Not like, it's a less, it'd be like a pork loin, but you know.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
No, and then, like, I think the only one of those shows, like, you know, the, like, can bring in random people who aren't actually cooks and, like, figure it out.
Oh, these people are cooks. These are legit, like, chefs, between, but continue.
Like, you know, that Chopped, and I've never seen Chopped. I've never seen, like, the Great British Bake Show, whatever the heck that's called. You know, I've never seen stuff like that. Like, even Iron Chef, I haven't really seen.
I fuck with Iron Chef so hard.
But, like, one that I have seen is the show Nailed It.
So this is so very different, because on all those other shows, like the ones you just mentioned, all the people are legitimately good at cooking or baking. That is part of the, yes, like Chopped, legitimate chefs, like world renowned. Same with Iron Chef. Like, those are like top chefs. Nailed It is like your aunt who isn't allowed to bring things to the barbecue anymore after the macaroni salad incident. So
it's great, though.
I thought salt could be replaced with sugar. They're both two white powders. Anyways, this was all to say, you should go follow us on YouTube. You should go subscribe there. You should also follow us on Instagram at Crossbody of Work. The Boogeyman, real name Martin Wright. Yeah, Javier's doing the dancing that Boogeyman does. If you're not watching on YouTube, and it's actually a very good impression.
You just kind of act like you're convulsing and holding a stick.
Yes, or a clock. Man loves clocks. He's truly the Flava Flav of our generation. So Martin Wright first entered the world of professional wrestling to take part in the fourth season of Tough Enough. That was how he got his start. He attended the two-day event in Venice Beach, California, where he was among eight finalists chosen. Great for him. After surviving the first day of eliminations, he admitted that he was actually 40 years old, which was 5 years older than the competitor's cutoff point, and not 30 as he'd claimed.
Just why would you? I would just keep the lie going at that point.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, if you're already in, I guess if they sign your paperwork, you're gonna have to, like, provide.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I can lie as soon as I win, or as soon as I get eliminated.
You'll give it up then? That's fair.
Yeah, it's like whatever. But, like, if I get, you know, if I'm in, like, I'm not gonna, like, basically force myself to get eliminated by being like, yeah, I'm 40.
I do like that he went all the way to 30 instead of just saying he's 35. Like, 35 was a cutoff.
No, because that's like...
That's suspicious. It's like everyone being 21, right?
Like, I wouldn't say 30. I'd say I was like 32.
Yeah.
You know? Not 33. I don't trust 33. Don't trust 32, though? Just saying.
32 sounds nice. 32 sounds nice. He then went and was signed to WWE Developmental, even after his cut, because they're like, well, you're clearly good, so we'll still hire you. And he went to OVW, so Ohio Valley Wrestling, made his OVW debut June 25th, 2005, during a dark match that pitted the team of, and I can't believe these names I'm saying, Seth Skyfire and Robert Fury against Robbie Dauber. That is the most creator wrestler shit I have ever heard in my life. Seth Skyfire is a name I would have come up with for myself at age 9.
What is this, DPW? Like,
he entered the ring and squashed all three men, no selling their offense, and then announced that he was the Boogeyman, and then left the building. That's what he said. That was his debut, which, honestly, fucking fire. Fantastic debut, no notes.
What's his name again? It's Martin what?
Wright.
This dude, that's like the most norm. First off, double for last names.
That's true. It's two last names.
But also technically double first names.
I'm sorry, you meant someone named Wright?
Yeah, Wright Thompson.
Sorry?
The writer, who? Wright Thompson, like he's one of the most renowned sports journalists of all time. You've never heard of Wright Thompson?
I've never heard that name before.
Wow.
That's fine.
Evan learns something new every day.
That's fine. I clearly have... I was unfamiliar with your work. All right, let's... use that again. I was unfamiliar with your work. So Martin Wright becomes awesome, the Boogeyman. His gimmick kind of evolved into like a monster face who would just appear when another wrestler said his name and then beat the shit out of him, which is a fantastic gimmick to have.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
He's the Boogeyman, and then, like, you say the Boogeyman
out. All right, and cool. He appears. Let's go. Let's do this.
So here's the weird thing. So that his OVW debut, I mentioned, was June 25th, 2005. On the July 11th, 2005 episode of Raw, his vignette started airing. That is less than a month later. This man pushed to the moon.
Here's another thing. The Boogeyman, I'm just going to spoil this for all these matches coming up here. The Boogeyman kind of sucks. Like, he's just not good at wrestling.
But does he? Because was he ever asked to do other things?
He does. Because you could just tell sometimes, and like, especially, so there's a tag team match that we cover on here.
I don't think that tag match is fair game.
No, but his movements. You could just tell sometimes by someone's movements, like, they just look kind of like clunky and like they've got two left feet.
I'm sorry, the man who convulses as part of his gimmick is clunky looking?
Yeah, but when he's freaking hitting the ropes, coming off the corners and shit, he's not convulsing, is he, Evan?
I feel like this is the difference between you and I, where I feel like you would be a good scout. You would be a very good scout and be like, you can see in the way he hits the ropes, he's not going to do it. And that's me. I'm like, he's got the whole gimmick. I believe in him.
All right, here's the thing.
I'm the baseball scout in Moneyball. It's like, look at the shape of his ass. He can hit. And you're like, what are his numbers?
I'm like, what's his OPS plus, my brother?
And I'm like, I don't know what any of those. I've never heard of those letters before.
You took one look at Kyle Schwarber's batting average, and you were like, he fucking sucks. He batted 183.
He sucks.
I'm like, yeah, but his OPS was like, ain't something.
So these debut vignettes, they started airing about the Boogeyman gimmick. They called him a horror-themed, disturbing, worm-devouring, Beetlejuice freak of nature. After a few weeks, the vignettes were moved from Raw to SmackDown. And then his debut was delayed because he hyperextended both knees and needed time to recover. Tough break for the Boogeyman.
There aren't many injuries that I want to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that just feels like... I'm reading that on paper, double hyperextended knee, and I was like, that's a Looney Tune ass injury. There's no other way that it could be anything other than a Looney Tunes Tom and Jerry ass injury.
It's true. There's no way to hyperextend both knees.
At the same time, there's just no way it's anything else.
So then he was brought to SmackDown to wrestle. Boogeyman then proceeded to recite a modified version of the chant, 1-2, Freddy's coming for you from Nightmare on Elm Street. And started then saying his catchphrase of, I'm the Boogeyman, and I'm coming to get you.
I remember those vignettes. 1-2, Boogie's coming for you.
They were spooky.
I was a child at that time. I was, so 2005,
you
would have been, well, it's the end of the year, so yeah I would have been 8. But I was just after the age where this would have scared me. Because I've said it to everyone that will listen. I even told Letterboxd this. There's only been two movies that have ever scared me. And it was when I was exactly 6, almost 7 years old, but 6 still. It's the original Amityville Horror.
Yep,
and the original
fair.
Halloween.
Both
and
of those are
because
fair.
Because of that, I have held, like, I gave both of those movies 5 stars. And in my review, I was like, these movies are, like, fine in quality. But when I was 6 years old, they are the only two films to have ever scared me. So I have to give respect where it's due.
That's
5
true.
Stars.
You got to put respect. Hang that that hey. Mechanic suit in the rafters for Michael Myers.
They,
all right?
they stood on business. That's all I'm saying.
Let's talk about the Boogeyman's debut. It's December 2nd, 2005. The Boogeyman is here to kill Simon Dean.
Okay. I just got to say, before we even go.
Yeah.
Simon Dean deserved the world title for his cell job here.
Simon Dean, unironically, was one of my favorite gimmicks growing up.
It's great. He's fucking amazing. Okay,
Simon Dean was a... So Simon Dean was Nova in ECW and then came to WWE and essentially started to be a multi-level marketing boss bitch before it existed.
Like I'm telling
he
you
was,
right now...
He was on the Herbalife grind before everyone else.
90% of Instagram influencers are just Simon
Dean. They're just Simon Dean with Photoshop. They're just Simon Dean with Photoshop.
Like, buy my cookbook right here. It's the same recipes that you'll see
get
from
my
literally any
get my
other...
personalized workout plan, which is, oh, wow, it has calf raises. You're so fucking instrumental. That's amazing.
Like, my thing is, anyone that buys those cookbooks, like, I've gotten one because it was a guy who I, like, genuinely supported.
Yeah.
But like, if you're buying multiple of those, like they're all the same. You buy one cookbook, you've bought them all.
You need to buy cookbook. Like, here's the thing. This has always been my opinion. I want to watch
those. Like, you know what I mean?
The
though, right?
health,
those,
the
like,
health cookbook.
Ones.
Yeah. No.
Like, oh, I'm not a chicken tenders, but healthy.
I'm not about those. If I walk into a restaurant and I see a chef and that chef is a big son of a bitch, I am in. I am in.
Good.
I'm eating great.
Go.
I'm eating great. And Simon Dean would hate it there.
Arm fat that goes down here. It's hanging.
I just know the food's going to be made with butter and love.
Boogeyman's
here. He smashes the clock on his head. He's got glass stuck on his head, which is honestly terrifying.
Okay, so I don't know what the deal with that was. I don't know if that was supposed to be there on purpose or not.
I don't think
so. It's perfectly stuck, but it's stuck flat is the problem. Like, they're stuck. Like, it's not like they're shards that went into his head. I think his face paint
was still wet. I think that's what it was.
And they just stuck flat. It's fucking hilarious. But they also stuck in weird ways. Like, they stuck here and here and here.
Boogeyman also, and this is a big part of the gimmick, eats worms. That's a big thing that he does. How much money for you to eat a handful of worms right now?
Do you remember the movie/book, How to Eat Fried Worms?
No. I do remember the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. Excellent film about female friendship.
Not the same. Not the same at all. Anyways. How to Eat Fried Worms is fucking excellent, as reviewed by me when I was like 6 years old.
Okay.
I don't know. Honestly, I'd probably do it for like $100. Like,
that's fair. That's the right number.
I don't want to say I'd do it for $1,000, obviously, but like the lowest low, like after some lengthy negotiations where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I just kind of want money. I'd do it for $100.
$100 is nice. If you eat worms, like a fistful of worms, just like a little...
all worms. Oh, fistful. I'm not doing it for $100.
So sorry, like a handful, like they're in your palm.
One worm, I'll do $100 for.
Oh, I'm talking handful. I do a handful for $100 because
oh fuck shot.
One, that's groceries for like the week, right? $100. That's not bad. Two, I already have a meal covered on my protein. Anyways,
Simon, they're all alive.
Well, yeah, that's part of the gimmick.
Nah, fam, you got to give me a grand. I need a grand. For a fistful, I need a grand.
Simon tries to attack Boogeyman from behind, and Boogie just turns around and growls. I also hope you know, like, I will be referring to Boogeyman as Boogie a lot during this.
Oh, yeah, that's all. I did that too in my notes. Perfect. And then Sandeed falls backwards into the corner where his little bag is, and he starts like throwing protein bars.
He throws products at him. He says,
protein bars, bro.
He says, good Boogie. Like, he's a dog. Good
he's
Boogie.
Like, oh, no, please, please, God, no. God, this is Shakespeare. Anthony Hopkins needs to return the Oscar that he won a few years back for, I don't remember the movie's name, but as that old man that has dementia, he needs to return it because it should have been Simon Dean.
Boogie reaches into his pockets. He's got some live worms to eat. He throws some at Simon's face, and he freaks the fuck out. Boogeyman with a choke.
He spits them.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw them. He spits them at both.
He does both.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does what I describe as a world's strongest slam, but Dean ends up face down.
It's inverse.
It's an inverted world's strongest slam. 1, 2, 3. Gets the dub. What a time.
While very loudly yelling, I'm the Boogeyman. And I'm coming to get you.
It's important for all of us to have affirmations. And his is that he is the Boogeyman. He wakes up every day, puts on his very intricate face paint, looks in the mirror and goes, I am the Boogeyman. And
you know
I
what sucks?
Am coming to get you.
How long do you think that takes?
I assume you got to get really good at it over time.
Because it's not like gold dust where it's just like half. You know?
Yeah.
Well, a couple lines. Like fully, it's just...
Goldie used to do a little bit. This is pretty more like much more intricate. I think it probably takes a bit. Speaking of things on faces, all right, let's talk about this promo that you picked. Holy shit!
I was like, there's no way I'm going through it without having this moment in there.
I didn't remember this happened.
Oh, was this during your lull period?
This is like the Boogeyman was straight up the very beginning of my lull period.
I'm telling you right now, I think this is the height of my wrestling fandom.
So
still to this day.
It's January 13th. It's January 13th, 2006, SmackDown. And Boogeyman is in a feud with a wrestling god, John Bradshaw Layfield. And we are here at Piper's Pit. And JBL is here on Piper's Pit. And he's with Jillian Hall, his image consultant / do everything, who has a giant growth on the side of her face.
Massive.
It's yucky.
It's not pretty.
If it's to a size where if a small child saw, they would point. Because kids don't care. Okay.
First off, it's way too big. So I think you could take half of that and kids would point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So here's
I think it's also the size that kids would run.
Oh yeah, I would. It's the size that I would point at it and do the good old Austin Powers, molly 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 molly.
Except it doesn't look like a mole. It looks like if I assume like the underside of a really old desk would, with like just gum stacked on top of them.
It looks like meatloaf left in the fridge for a year.
Perfect. Piper gives JBL the introduction. JBL calls himself the greatest icon of them all. This is also the same SmackDown where Batista earlier in the night had relinquished the World Heavyweight Championship due to an injury.
It's going to be a Battle Royal. JBL, do you remember who wins the Battle Royal?
That Battle Royal is won by... Who wins that Battle Royal?
I'm pretty sure it's Kurt.
Is that I thought it was Kali.
No, Kali wins it later. Kali wins it later because he wins it off of... his first title is around the Undertaker time period, so that would have been like 2007.
2007?
Somewhere in that range.
Okay, I'm going to look at the reigns.
It's 100%. I'm pretty sure it's Kurt.
That's Kurt.
The wrestling machine Kurt.
It is Kurt, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
He says that...
Oh. Great Khali, wins it from a battle royal in 2007. After Edge vacates it. Look, so
now.
It was a battle royal. I just had the wrong battle royal. Well done. Well done.
Anyways, he says that... So Batista relinquished the title. He said he held the title for a year. Didn't matter the injury, the knock, the whatever the fuck. He didn't take a day off because his body wrote a note, which honestly I thought was a bar.
He says because his mommy wrote a note.
Oh, I thought he said body.
Body would be a better bar, but he says mommy.
Damn.
And JBL saying mommy is in my top five least favorite sounds I've ever heard.
Are you going to clip that and put it in the reel?
Probably. Just follow us on Instagram at Crossbody of Work for some of my most outstanding reel content.
Just mommy? Mommy. Mommy.
My La Parka getting drunk at a Dave and Buster's did not get nearly enough attention on Instagram, so I want everyone to go and like it.
I want everyone to do the exact opposite of that.
JBL talking about winning the Battle Royal. He says he's returning to normalcy. Piper straight up is falling asleep and starts snoring. Piper then asks the question that's on everyone's mind, which is what is on the side of Jillian's face? What is dying on the side of her face?
He absolutely roasts the fuck out of her.
Gets his reading glasses on and says it has more hair on it than George the Animal Steel's bum.
Yeah, he flames JBL, then brings out the real guest, which is the Boogeyman.
Smoke stick in hand, clock as usual. Then Boogeyman comes in
Saturday night.
Boogeyman comes in the ring, and JBL just straight up throws Jillian to the wolves.
Just pushes her right into him.
She frees in fear, and Boogeyman smells something. He smells the thing on her face.
It's me walking into any restaurant.
He licks it and then bites it off of her face.
And then he puts it in his hand. He starts petting it. And then he just starts laughing. He's petting it.
Yeah.
Like he's fucking, I don't even
Dr.
know.
Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget, yes.
And then he just.
Oh no! This is a special treat for the viewers on YouTube. He does the like open wide and like unhinges his jaw and drops it in.
That's like me eating like fucking nachos if I were drunk.
Fair. Piper gets cornered by the Boogeyman and prays to many deities before Boogeyman just leaves.
Hail Mary, full of grace, and then he goes, he says some other shit, I don't even know.
He's praying to every deity he can think of. This was a really weird time. I hated watching it. I'm so glad that we broke it down, though. Let's take a break. When we get back, we are going to see the Boogeyman face JBL at the Royal Rumble. Back from the break, it is Royal Rumble 2006, and it's JBL versus the Boogeyman. JBL is straight up putting over how weird Boogeyman is with his body language. I will say one thing that Boogeyman had going for him is that everyone was down to sell what a weird guy he was. Like, between Simon Dean and JBL, people are putting over that this guy is weird.
You know what my favorite thing about the Boogeyman is?
The clock?
No, he's billed from the bottomless pit.
The bottomless pit. Yes.
That is the coolest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I love when people are billed from weird places. You know what I mean? Like,
if you were to be billed from somewhere, because you could just kind of pick
yeah.
at this point. Who are we lying about here? Where would you select?
Okay, well, I'm trying to list through like the weird places you can come from. You come from like the bottomless pit. You can come from parts unknown. You can come from Cleveland. You can come from Death Valley.
All those things are the same.
All of those things are fictional places that don't actually exist. Oh, I mean, if it's fictional places, I'm going to be from Wyoming. There you go. You ever met somebody from Wyoming? I don't think so.
I'm going to say I'm from, like, someplace that's not even real. Like, I'm just going to make it up. I'm from, like,
Duckettsville, New York.
I'm from Luxembourg, West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm from Frostburg, Tennessee.
I'm from Manitoba.
I'm from Manitoba.
I'm combining Minnesota and Manitoba.
Out fucking standing. I want to be from Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Those are the nicest people on the planet, I hope you know. And the nicest mooses. The nicest mooses live in Manitoba.
And the cheese is pristine. Let me tell you something.
I can't wait for our I'm from Manitoba shirt. That's going to be outstanding merch. All right.
And then half of it is like the cutout of Manitoba and the other half is the cutout of Minnesota. You stitch them together.
It's going to be great. Jillian Hall is used as a shield by JBL, of course.
Again.
Boogeyman then like pins her down and drops worms from his mouth onto her.
Jimmy Corderas dips the scene, by the way.
Shout out to Jimmy for saving himself.
Shout out to the Reffing It Up pod.
Yeah, shout out Reffing It Up. JBL finally gets in the ring. Right hands to Boogeyman, big right to Boogie. JBL tosses him to the outside, into the steps. JBL's in control for like 45 seconds.
The selling is so fucking funny from Boogeyman here.
It's because he doesn't have to practice how to sell ever.
He's just flopping around. It's like, you ever see the video of that like older gentleman who's like doing like a, he's like dancing. It's like a dance battle kind of thing. And then he does that like half-assed front flip and he just lands and everyone runs away because they're like, this dude's dead.
Yeah.
That's that front flip, the way he just kind of flops forward. That's how Boogeyman sells.
Yeah. I believe that.
I'm not even fully convinced that that dude who did the flopping front flip wasn't the Boogeyman.
No, you're right. He's out of makeup. Boogie gets tossed back in the ring. JBL knocks Boogie to a knee. We think of like a two-handed choke from Boogeyman. JBL misses a clothesline from hell. And Boogeyman finishes instead with a pump handle slam. That's the finish for this one.
Shout out to a pump handle press slam. I love him.
It's good shit. He does like the one-hand pin like he's about to start CPR. That's how he... That's how he wins.
Are you CPR certified?
I am.
I'm also CPR certified.
Yeah, I got that first aid CPRC, baby. I'm set. I mean,
mine expired probably like 5 years ago, but still.
I'm due for like the, you know, you get like the half recert where you just have to like do the one day, or the full recert. You have to do the full 2 days again.
I'm all set with that.
I got to do the full recert because it's been like 6 years. I know.
I mean, you're not going to be a lifeguard. It's fine.
You're right. I won't guard life. I will take it. No.
Anyways, he eats worms while dancing again. He's like...
All right. Rank the scariest characters in wrestling history.
Are you going to throw them at me? I got to rank them. I got a bunch.
So, scariest ones. These ones I thought of. So, Boogeyman. Nah, Fiend.
I wasn't scared of him. Fiend's number one.
Papa Shango.
No, I'm not scared of him. He's towards the bottom. He's probably last.
Ministry of Darkness Undertaker.
He's up there.
I think it's Fiend and then Undertaker. Like that era Undertaker specifically.
I need more people. Give me more people.
Kane, like fresh out the, that's gotta be era Kane.
No, that's not doing it for me.
Okay, well, mask removal cane? That one's...
More so bald cane would have been scarier for me, but even that wasn't, like, too bad.
All right, New Jack?
Oh, number one, sorry. Remove the Fiend? Completely. Remove everyone else from the list. Every slot is taken by New Jack.
And Haku.
Oh, I've messed up. Oh, no. Oh.
There's a difference between like shoot.
Anyways,
this will be the last
episode.
Like, oh, that person's scary versus like that person actually scares me. All right, I saw this sentence on the Wikipedia, had to include it because it's just a funny thing to say. After defeating the Dicks in a handicap match on February 24th episode of SmackDown, the Boogeyman dumped a bucket of worms on the announce table, which frightened special guest commentators Booker T and his wife Charmel. Boogeyman subsequently began to stalk Booker and Charmel over the next weeks, and then he and Booker T were supposed to meet at Saturday Night's Main Event 32, but the match was canceled because Booker T faked a knee injury. That led to this WrestleMania match. It is the Boogeyman versus Booker T and Charmel in a handicap match.
You know what my favorite thing about this?
It's the intro, isn't it?
No, so WrestleMania 22... right? This is
22. Yep.
Booker T is in a handicap match with his wife against the Boogeyman.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he's championed by SummerSlam.
I believe he is too. That would track.
I'm like 90% sure he's championed by SummerSlam.
Because he wins the
Great American Bash, isn't it?
So, yeah, we have the two. So he has the Boogeyman match. He then wins the 06 King of the Ring, becomes King Booker. And yeah, no, he wins it at
the Great American Bash, right?
Yeah, he is world heavyweight champion by the. Yeah.
There you go. That's fucking insane.
I had a coworker the other day randomly just shout out King Booker as a gimmick, and I popped so hard. Like, if there's ever a. Because they're talking about like he's like oh like
context.
They're like oh like I used to watch wrestling like I remember I got into it like a certain era and it's like my favorite person was just King Booker and I
King
popped
Booker
because normally when people say oh my favorite wrestler was it's usually like Stone Cold if they're older it's Hulk Hogan it's Ultimate Warrior
see here's the thing like my favorite iteration of Booker T was early Main Event Mafia TNA Booker T because he just spoke in an African accent for some reason.
Oh really?
Yeah. Just no reason whatsoever. And the crazy thing is, they didn't ask him to do it. He just decided to.
That is very weird.
Yeah. No, like, I think they dropped, like, the full-length, like, history of the Main Event Mafia, where it's basically, like, what WWE does with these playlists, where they'll, like, just splice together the full-length matches and endings to matches and segments or whatever for, like, the moments.
Yeah.
They did that for the Main Event Mafia. Go look at the first like 10 minutes of that video. Booker is just talking in an African accent.
Interesting. This match, the clip starts with Charmel and Booker T talking backstage about how all the freaks are drawn to Booker. And then they see a series of freaks. They see Paul Burchill.
Oh, he's on top of boxes practicing his fencing or whatever.
They see Eugene and Ted DiBiase, and Ted's doing the like basketball game where he kicks the ball out before he reaches 100, which is very funny.
And the worst one.
We see Gene Snitsky going to town on Mae Young's foot. Oh, it's a bad time. And then Goldust is in drag, and then he approaches Booker, his old tag team partner, and talks about how he's Oprah Dust today. Because in order for Booker to defeat Boogeyman, he's going to need to embrace his inner freak.
It's true. He tells him to eat the worm and then shove them straight up Boogeyman's. And then he leans in closely to what I can only imagine. He says ass.
That's what I assumed.
But we don't know. It's a mystery. It's cliffhanger.
Then there's a couple. There's a backlash promo before the match. There's a... We see people who won a Snickers contest to get ringside seats. We also see the most random duo. They're not next to each other because that would be even weirder. But Joe Theismann's there, and Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is also there.
Say my name, say my name.
That song remains slapping. It doesn't
most
stop
Destiny's
slapping.
Child songs remain true. Slapping.
Bills fucking is outstanding.
Cause my body too bootylicious for you, babe.
Outstanding. Well done. This is not match. Not good.
This match is all of like 2.5-3 minutes long.
I actually am interested to see what they call this match in terms of length, like what it's bell to bell is. But you talk about what happens.
Okay, so Booker immediately sends Charmel out to start the match. And as she like circles the ring to basically get into the opposite corner, and when that happens, Booker comes in and attacks Boogeyman from the back.
Three minutes and 43 seconds.
Christ. He hits a massive super kick to Boogeyman for a near fall.
This is where I realized
you can barely tell because there's so much fucking smoke.
That's the first thing I said. It's like they went way too heavy on the smoke for Boogeyman, and you can't fucking
smoke.
You can't see. You genuinely can't see.
From the hard camera, at least, you could genuinely barely see the super kick that Booker hits.
But we do get a bookend from Booker.
Yeah. He ducks an attack from Boogeyman, catches him in the Uranage position, and then just drops his ass.
Boogie gets some rights, two hand thrusts, like he was doing like the two hand strikes, essentially.
Yeah.
Knocks Booker down. Booker misses a scissor kick. Boogeyman hits him with a forearm, tosses Booker into the ring post, and then Boogie has a mouthful of worms. Of course he does. This man is always wormed up.
He's warmed up and ready to go, baby.
He is worming.
Him and Otis would be the worm duo.
And they can be managed by Scotty Too Hotty. The worms.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I know.
An iconic tag team.
I think anyway. I have some things to do in 2K after this. All right.
Charmel grabs the Boogeyman's stick, or staff, or whatever the fuck.
What's the difference? What makes it a staff? Like, how? What's.
Depends on how weird you are. I don't know.
Okay, well, then this is definitely a staff.
Charmel goes to hit him with the staff. He turns on a dime, looks at her. She's scared, like she's fucking freaked out. Then he kisses her and inserts worms into her mouth.
Don't do that.
So he goes full tongue on the first kiss. That's crazy.
Multiple tongues. Little worm tongues.
Do worms have tongues? Google that.
Google's going to send someone to my house to be like, are you okay with the things you've
been... Worms have tongues. Charmel runs away. She runs up the ramp out of here. Booker tries to go for some offense. He's not able to because Boogeyman just grabs him, gets him up in a double choke hold, and then drops him down with a double choke bomb. 1, 2, 3. The Boogeyman fucking beats Booker T at WrestleMania.
Worms do not have tongues. Mm. Some people think that worms have tongues because certain worms do have something in their mouth they can poke out like a tongue. It's called a stylet, and it looks like a needle. Worms that eat plants pierce the outside of the plant with their stylet. I realize now that I know very little about worms.
I raised worms in like kindergarten or first grade.
Okay. So like in class?
Yes, in class. This
okay.
was in class.
So I was going to say, if you waited like 35 minutes into a podcast about the Boogeyman to not drop that you are like a fucking worm expert, I was about to lose it.
Oh, I know nothing about worms. I just raised them.
Worm facts.
We had them in a little thing.
Worm facts.
Hit me with them. Hit me with the car facts.
All right. This is from a website called Worm Farm Guru. I trust them inherently. Worms will become paralyzed if exposed to light for too long. Interesting. Worms breathe through their skin and have no lungs. That doesn't sound right. Worms have 5 hearts. Can live up to 8 years. What is going on? They hatch from cocoons.
I know because I hatched the worms.
The giant
they were earthworms.
The giant Gippsland earthworm is the longest in the world, reaching up to 9.8 feet long.
All right, imagine you're just like out, right? And you come across a 9-foot worm.
I'd assume I'm dead.
How long are Alaskan bullworms? I thought those motherfuckers were huge.
Worms are 90%.
That's what SpongeBob told me.
Worms are 90% water, so honestly, Boogeyman's just trying to stay hydrated.
Isn't that basically celery at that point? If you're 90% water, you are celery.
Worms are celery is the take that I'm taking away from this. I need like an emotional support. commercial break. So that's what we're going to do. And then when we get back, we have two more Boogeyman matches to cover.
See?
Back from the break. Fun fact about that match with Booker T is that it actually had to be cut short. That's the reason it was only 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Because we're going to get this. This is a common theme. An injury to the Boogeyman. He was injured at a house show. He had a bicep tear, and that's why the match was shorter. To explain his absence going forward at a WrestleMania, Booker T and Charmel obtained a restraining order against the Boogeyman on the April 7th episode of SmackDown.
He's a fucking Boogeyman. Who cares?
I mean, he's very serious about following the law. On September 20th, WWE.com reported that Wright had been released from the company. However, on October 6th, they announced that he had re-signed with the company and would be training at Booker T and Stevie Ray's wrestling school in Houston, Texas. So he went from terrifying Booker T to learning from him at his school. I love wrestling. It's my favorite thing.
Oh, my God. Okay, here's the thing, too. How badly do you think Vince just wanted to put him in a title match against Booker?
I feel like Vince
like
loved
a one-off.
This gimmick. Yeah, oh. Just one.
Ah, it's such good shit.
He returned on the October 27th episode of SmackDown, attacking Spitting Worms into the faces of The Miz and Crystal Marshall. He then would defeat The Miz and end his undefeated streak at Armageddon. So it was the Boogeyman.
I almost put that match in here.
The Boogeyman ended Miz's undefeated streak. Boogeyman then feuded with Finlay, who ended the Boogeyman's own undefeated streak when Hornswoggle interfered. On the February 2nd edition of SmackDown, during a match against Chris Benoit for the WWE United States Championship, the Boogeyman abducted Hornswoggle, distracting Finlay long enough to give Benoit a chance to win the match via a roll-up. That leads to this match where Boogeyman has his own little fella. It is Boogeyman and Little Boogeyman versus Finlay and Hornswoggle, who at this point they are still calling Little Bastard, No Mercy 2007.
My name's Finlay, and I love to fight.
Little Boogeyman should have a stopwatch, not a clock. And you know I'm right. Just a little click, click.
Not even wristwatch?
No, like one of those little ones they use for like time. Click, click. Like.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but come on, man. He's also got like a beer gut.
Yeah, Little Boogeyman is big for a little guy.
Little Boogie's got a big belly.
JBL's on commentary now because it's 2007 and it continues the gimmick of hating Boogeyman.
He is pissed because this match is happening in the same ring that him and John Cena had a WrestleMania match in.
JBL also calls Cole xenophobic and anti-immigration because he hates Finlay and therefore hates Ireland, when I'm pretty sure Michael Cole is Irish, has Irish background.
I mean, his name is Michael Cole. I can only assume he's either Irish or Scottish of some kind. Because, you know, Sir Criston Cole, shout out. Actually, no, don't shout out. I hate that man.
Nothing of note other than, of course, that he was born Sean Michael Coutard and is from Syracuse, New York, and went to the Syracuse School of Journalism.
Sorry, did you say his last name was Coutard?
Coutard. C-O-U-L-T-H-A-R-D.
He's probably British or Welsh.
I mean, he's American, goddammit. He's from...
Okay, of descent, you son of a...
this match is bad.
This is a great match. I don't know what you're talking about. So the match starts with Boogie rocking Finlay. He hits a body slam as Finley's coming off the ropes. And then Little Boogie comes in. There's no tag, so the purist in me started going crazy.
That's true.
An AEW match. You grab the rope. And you tag yourself in, you son of a bitch. And the little boogie does two running sits.
Yeah, the two little running seated sentons.
Those two running sits. He just popped a squat twice, as far as I'm concerned.
He really did.
Little Boogie's about to give Finlay some worms, but Hornswoggle comes in, guns blazing, takes off the coat, takes off the hat, puts it on Finlay. And he's ready to go. He's like the Fighting Irish logo, like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
He looks like Scrappy Doo.
Yes, and then Finlay comes and kicks the fucking head off of Lil Boogie.
Just boots Lil Boogie.
Straight to hell.
Also, Lil Boogie is an outstanding rap name that nobody has yet.
As far as you know.
I'm going to Google that too. Seriously, Boogie, the FBI agent who watches over me is concerned for me right now.
Lil Boogie puts a small package on from out of nowhere for a near fall, which looked good. Looked real good, the small package did, actually. And then there was obviously a joke where it's not a small package, it's just called a package.
It's true. There's a rapper named Lil Boogie. So shout
there's
out
to there's a Boogie with a hoodie.
There's a Boogie with a hoodie, but there is a Lil Boogie as well as a Lil Baby Boogie. So
Jesus Christ. Lil Have Baby we know Boogie. Where's the creativity? Where's the it's creativity
gone.
Here?
It's
man?
Gone.
Lil Boogie gets pulled under the ring by Hornswoggle after Finley dumps Lil Boogie out. And a Boogie comes out from under the or when Finley goes down yeah. to check under, it's he finds the Boogeyman, Big Boogie.
And I love Finley because he doesn't care. He just starts swinging hands.
Yeah. Boogeyman has no advantage in that fight. He's in that exchange. He's just immediately getting his shit kicked.
So I realize there are so many fucking worms on the apron. Yeah. They're everywhere.
That must have been such a bitch for the production crew to clean up.
I hate that. Slingshot by Boogeyman and a series of two-hand strikes and atomic drops. He slingshots him into the corner. We got a running hip attack and a clothesline by Boogeyman. I can understand where at this point, like when you see like this series, you're right. He doesn't have like the smoothest of movements, but I don't think it matters because he was over with the gimmick he had.
He still sucks at wrestling. It's my duty to point out whether someone sucks at wrestling or not. This is a wrestling podcast. Damn it!
Is it really?
For the most part,
I pulled up worm facts. That was a bit we did.
It's related. Boogie comes flying through with a rebound, body check, a couple of atomic drops, some corner moves. He launches Lil Boogie from the top rope onto Finley for a near fall because Hornswoggle comes in and hits him with a shillelagh. And then there's like a whole thing.
Boogeyman has a fistful of worms for Hornswoggle. And Big Boogie chases him into the ring. We get so we chase him out of the ring and like chasing him into the crowd. And Finley sees an opportunity and capitalizes shillelagh to Lil Boogie, one clean shot. And he gets the pin by pinning, Lil Boogie, truly saving the prestige of Boogeyman. He didn't get pinned. Oh no.
Go on to the next match.
No, I also want to talk about how Michael Cole's voice is shot by the end of this match. Did you notice that? And that's tough because it's hard to keep your voice for this long. Like, there's, we don't do this on a weekly, like we do this podcast on a weekly basis, but we don't do like four shows or like a bunch of other things. Like, we can save it for the hour we do. Cole does like 2 to 3 hours a day or a night. And then also like he's doing other shit. Like, honestly, good for Michael Cole for never usually having this happen to him.
But also, like, it's difficult for him because, yeah, he's got the headphones, headset and all that stuff, but he still has the arena sound, so he has to, like, enunciate really loud into the microphone. Like, we're just talking like normal people.
That's true.
I don't know about you, but I'm not screaming into the microphone to get my points across here. I'm just speaking.
I do think that we would get our points across more if we did scream at each other. If we were more like first...
Well, I don't fucking know what you want me to tell you,
If
Evan.
We were more like First Take, I think we would have... We'd be more popular by now.
What is wrong with you?
He was on crack. All right.
He signed the Boogeyman. Boogeyman was eating worms.
Boogeyman ended his tenure on SmackDown with a loss to Mark Henry in a squash match, and that was part of Henry's new Path of Destruction gimmick. Also, during that match, Mark Henry beat up Lil Boogeyman and gave him a body splash, which kayfabe severely injured him and wrote him off of television.
I mean, he probably killed the man.
Probably. Boogeyman was drafted to ECW, and the next day he debuted and defeated Matt Stryker, beginning a feud with him, where he essentially didn't have a feud with Matt Stryker, but really a feud with Big Daddy V, which was his bodyguard of sorts. Boogeyman then, again, he had to delay returning to action because he tore a calf muscle, but also had done some dental surgery to replace some missing teeth. Then there was this big debut vignette. He came back on the October 13, 2008 edition of Raw and made his return in a segment with Jackasses Johnny Knoxville, Chris Pontius, and Big Dick Johnson that ended with Boogeyman putting live worms out of a bag and putting them in his own mouth and then spitting them into Pontius's like a bird.
I love Chris Pontius. I can't even say anything bad. Jackass is a big deal for me.
Jackass is it's a big deal for a lot of people. It's okay.
I love it. I'm sorry. Like, it is the one thing where I go, I like turn off my brain and just go full like bro. Like, that's just what it is.
That's fair.
Like, women like wrestling. Obviously, there are women out there who like Jackass, but Jackass is inherently a bro,
a dude thing. Fun fact: my other co-host Mallory from Podcast fucking loves Jackass.
Yes, because Mallory has taste.
It's true. She does love taste, or does have taste. Now, our last match, another spooky guy. It's Boogeyman versus Kane. ECW on Sci-Fi, March 2nd, 2009. Two scary dudes for two different reasons.
The face paint is incredible from Boogeyman.
It looks outstanding. Plus, he has the all-black contacts now, which I think is a really good addition.
And it's more red than black. Yeah. It's like red with like black dots.
Yeah. Boogeyman's eating some worms. Go figure.
Kane's face had me fucking rolling.
It's a shame that Kane's gimmick is best with, like, his mask gimmick, I think, is his best gimmick. I think that, like, the mask cut, it was so great because you couldn't tell what he was thinking. Because Glenn Jacobs is actually great with facial expressions.
He's like,
he's a very expressive guy.
The fuck?
So get some worms from Boogeyman, and Kane just drops them and hits his big Kane uppercut in like one smooth motion. It's great. This match is short. Hilarious. This match is like 3 minutes long.
Early cover for a near fall by Kane. Kane misses his flying clothesline. Boogie hits a corner splash, but when he goes for some more offense, Kane hits a big boot.
Yep.
Boogie goes for a flying something.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Kane catches him, hits a choke slam. 1, 2, 3. Kane wins. Boogeyman loses. Boogeyman's convulsing on the ground.
The next day, Boogeyman would be released by WWE.
Never to be signed ever again.
Never signed again, except as a Legends contract. So he's just appeared a couple more times. He appeared on the December 12th or 16th episode in 2012 of Raw during the Slammy Awards. He snuck up on Booker T. He appeared at the Royal Rumble in 2015. I remember he had the face-off with Bray Wyatt. That was cool. He appeared on like the Raw reunion show, scared Drake Maverick, and helped Pat Patterson pin Drake Maverick to win the 24/7 title. He appeared on another episode of Raw where he scared Angel Garza and allowed somebody else to pin Angel Garza.
I know there's been times where there's definitely been a time where someone like opened the door and he was in there. And then they like slowly close the door.
I do like that. He has made a couple of appearances on the indies as the Boogeyman, but since signing his Legends contract, he's just kind of pops up at WWE stuff. According to Wikipedia, as of 2018, at least, he was an aerobics instructor in Denver, Colorado.
Well, I mean, you also have to think, like, what season of Tough Enough was he on? The first
season,
one?
Season 4.
Season 4? That would have been, what, 2004?
Are you trying to suss out how old he is?
Yeah, so if he was 40 then, the guy's like 60.
Yeah, he is. He turned 59 this year.
Yeah, like, what the fuck do we expect from this? I don't think he's doing indie shots. He's fucking almost 60 years old. He's good.
I have something that I think is going to blow your mind.
What do you think is like his day job nowadays?
Aerobics instructor. I just said that.
Oh, my God.
He's an aerobics instructor in Denver, Colorado, just hanging out, going to watch Walking Jokic.
He's just in there like, more passion, more passion, more passion.
I have a fact that I do not think you're going to believe.
I'm probably not, but go ahead.
He is the 2006 PWI Rookie of the Year. A kind of weak class he was.
What is the class? I need to know the class.
So the other people that were runner up, because I can only see the three runners up. Charles Evans, who doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
I have no idea who that is.
Aki Bono. And
yep.
Some guy named Cody Runnels. I don't think I've ever heard of him. I don't think anything was really made of Cody. Oh wait, that's Cody fucking Rhodes.
I mean, look, he deserved it over Cody. Like, he just did. Cody wasn't on TV.
There are some very interesting, Rookie of the Year races, I will say. Like, 2001.
There probably was a really good one around, like, towards the end of the
2000s. 2001, Randy Orton wins over Brock Lesnar, K-Quick, a.k.a. R-Truth, and The Prototype, a.k.a. John Cena.
Adam Cole should have won in 2009, I want to say. I don't know if he did, but he should have.
I don't see Adam Cole on here whatsoever.
That's crazy.
Oh, there he is. Wait, where is he? Where is he?
CZW?
I think he had a different name.
No, it was just Adam Cole.
No, because I just saw his face, but there's no Adam Cole listed here. And now it's freaking me out as to where he was.
He's been Adam Cole since the beginning, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know what else to tell you.
He's a CZW with Kyle O'Reilly. They were Team Future Shock.
Other people who've won the Rookie of the Year, Maven, Zach Gowen, Hornswoggle, David Otunga.
What the fuck are we doing here?
911, Alex Wright,
Leo Rush,
Prince Iaukea.
No Leo Rush?
Do you know who won the last? Oh, Leo Rush actually was second in 2016 to Nia Jax.
This was a nice episode. I'll see you guys.
Also, Nia Jax beat Matt Riddle and Shayna Baszler that same year. So that's light work. Absolute light work. Wow.
What were you saying?
Can you name the last three?
The last three?
PWI Rookie of the Year. So 2022.
Was it Hook?
It was Hook. 2021.
Is it a woman?
It is.
It's not Statlander, is it?
No, it's not.
No, but am I on the right track?
You're in the right company.
Julia Hart?
Except not anymore.
Oh, Jade.
Jade. Okay. And 2020 is a fucking heat magnet.
Nia Jax? I don't even know.
No.
Dom.
It's Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. All right. This is fun to look in the career Boogeyman. The match quality, there's no recommendations this week. Just go watch.
Zero. So,
no. Go watch Boogeyman promos. Honestly, go watch the Jillian Hall thing. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Just type in the Boogeyman WWE and then
and explore.
Explore. Just have a good time.
Have a great time. Yeah, I got nothing else to say about Boogeyman. This is cool. I mean, it's a fun gimmick to have.
Happy Halloween.
Happy
to
Halloween. What's the best Halloween costume you've ever had?
The one that I'm going to have literally this year. It's a redo of my costume from last year because I didn't fully flush it out, but it's Mario.
Nice.
I bought overalls. They're right here. You can't see them, but they're literally slightly off camera. Mm. And they're too far away for me to reach, so that's why I can't get them. But it's, I've got a long sleeve red shirt. I've got the hat. It has the logo on it and everything.
There you go.
I bought it off of Amazon. My buddy's going to be Luigi.
You're going to have a little mustache?
I'm doing my best.
Dude, if you shave the rest of your face, it'll be fine.
It's just not happening. That's just not happening. But when I was for my first birthday party, we celebrated it on Halloween because my birthday, spoiler for everyone, my birthday's 2 days before Halloween. So my first birthday party was at a Burger King that my parents rented out, but it's
Hell
a Burger
yes.
King that had the playhouse.
Yeah.
And they put me in a Winnie the Pooh onesie.
Elite.
In fifth grade, I was a vampire basketball player. I had the headband and I just
see, I was an undead hockey player 1 year. So like, same wavelength, probably around the same age too.
I took red marker and I like put blood.
Yeah. I did have a really good time once where in university I dressed up as the Riddler. Like I got like a green suit and I like put question marks all over it. And I had the hat and the cane and it was great because I actually was walking home and there's a really unsafe path at the college I went to. And I rolled my ankle at the very bottom of it and kind of sprained my ankle. And the next day I had volunteered to help with like a Halloween thing. And I'm like, oh, this is great because my costume includes a cane. So I was just like hobbling along with my cane. Helped
out
quite a bit.
It's a great costume that I've never seen anyone have.
What's that?
The Monopoly Man.
That's true. I think people just assume you're like an old money tycoon.
Well, if you're going to be the Monopoly Man, you may as well be Doug Dimmadome, or another Dimmsdale Dimmadome. Founder of the Chicken Dippa Dippa Dome.
I'm pretty sure Javier is speaking in tongues right now. So now it's time for us to talk about all the important places you can find us. You can find us on all the social medias at Crossbody of Work, on Instagram, on Twitter. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube for all that extra content as well. You can find Javier on social media wherever he tells you right now.
One day I'll make a sign. It's
one day.
On the Twitter machine, at JMLO Sports. We do this every week, people. Just lob the boy a follow like that.
Follow
like that.
Me as well. At It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Go to FullPressShop.com to cop the merch. Support the boys as we are on the path to WrestleMania. FullPressWrestling.com for all the links to this week's matches, which, again, there's no recommendations, but you can go back and watch some of the Juventud Guerrera matches from last week. They're really good. They're all listed. Yeah. All of our matches, all the episodes we've covered are all on FullPressWrestling.com. You can go back and watch any of these. As we now go into a three-part series, it is time to announce our next three-parter. I find it's very timely in terms of who we're covering. You think you know me. You don't. We are covering the career of Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
On his day, I see Vicky.
Where the fuck is Vicky? All right. I'm excited to talk about Edge because, God, there's been a lot. So we get
so many good matches.
We get Brood Edge. We get like random King of the Ring push Edge. We're going to probably get a TLC match. Like, there's lots to do.
I'm spoiling it right now. We're doing that promo he had against John Cena where he said that he hated him.
Are we doing the live sex celebration? Is that part of what we cover?
It can be.
I mean, you never know what we're going to cover.
Be roughly the same era,
We need that promo because that promo about hating John Cena is really good.
Great. I think it's the best promo of his career.
It is. We're also probably going to watch an ungodly long Randy Orton match at some point, and I'm not emotionally ready.
It's not going to be the WrestleMania one. I could tell you that
it's too long. Next week we start our three-parter on Edge. You can find it, of course, wherever you got this podcast and wherever you are listening. If you could just hit the 5 stars, that would be fantastic. It helps us out so much as we continue to grow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, share this with your friends, and of course you'll be able to see that all wherever you get your podcasts or here on YouTube. All right, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, it's Halloween, so we got to do some Halloween my recommendations. Well, there's plenty of recommendations. If you're going, the costume thing, I think honestly, I'm probably going to do this for the rest of my life, or at least the rest, however long I have this body type. I'm going to be Mario. Why? Because I already have the costume. I'm just going to re-up it every year, most likely, at least for a practical thing.
Unless, I mean, that tracks.
Unless it's like my girlfriend wants to do a couple's costume. Like she feels like next year she wants to do Buffy and Angel. Which works for me. I just got to put a jacket on.
That's true. You really do.
She always says I look like Angel / Special Agent Seeley Booth, and I don't see it at all.
I do see it now that you say it. You do look a little like David Boreanaz.
Is it because I'm broody? Like,
no. It truly is like, it's not necessarily face shape. It's head shape. Like it's like the jaw
I'll take it.
No, it's good. It's good.
I would love to look like Seeley Booth. It's my guy. That's true. But, aside from that, I think the best thing ever is just picking a costume and being that every year, handing out some candy, candy stuff. Just, I beg you people out there, this was terrible for me as a child. I do not like chocolate. It's my biggest flaw as a person, I understand. But there's nothing I can do about it. I cannot control my taste buds. Yeah. Like, I had chocolate cake literally 2 days ago just to see if I still like chocolate. Guess what? Hated it. And this wasn't even like a store bought chocolate. So unsettling. I went to a fancy ass fucking restaurant here, like steakhouse here, and they have great desserts. And Kelly really enjoyed this cake, so I'm assuming it's great cake. But I couldn't do it. Hated it. Anyways, be weary of those children and have some sympathy for them. They are already suffering enough. Anywhere they go, every dessert option has chocolate in it.
It's true.
Just for the love of God, have some candy options that don't have chocolate in them. Just do it. In the bowl, throw some Skittles in there. A couple Starburst, maybe some freaking Sour Patch Kids. I don't know. Just don't have only chocolate in there. I beg. Beware of nut allergies as well. Don't only have chocolate with nuts in them. Just again, if you're gonna have chocolate only, just do some white chocolates. Maybe get some fruit snacks in there for those children as well.
Just have a bunch of fucking potatoes. Just have potatoes.
Don't give the children potatoes. Asshole.
Like, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing you can give out on Halloween?
Fucking celery. I don't
floss. Know. Floss. The answer is floss. There was a dentist on my street growing up, and he gave out floss.
If you're an adult,
to children.
kid. That's terrible. But if you're an adult, just don't be an asshole. Give out candy. Like, I'm not saying you have to make it your whole night. Like, just put a bowl out with candy.
Yeah.
Or it's just like if you're in an apartment building and they give you the option, like, I'm not saying you have to, but for at least in my building, or like allotment of buildings, like they are doing this thing where you can go to the security desk or whatever and get like a little pumpkin sticker and you stick it on your door and that lets people know, like, hey, knock, that we have candy. I think that's great. If you live in an apartment complex, like bring that up with the office. I think that's a great idea. Just like, remember, this is a holiday mostly for kids, you know, like don't be an asshole. Let a kid enjoy Halloween. And yeah, just everyone be safe. Remember, yes means yes, no means no, and stuff like that.
And candy is a wonderful thing. And chocolate's good, no matter what Javier tells you. All right, thank you so much for joining us to talk about the Boogeyman. We'll be back next week, and we will dive into early era Edge. We will talk to you then.